It appears voters in Taiwan aren't afraid of China. They want a closer relationship.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Voters in Taiwan went to the polls over the weekend and narrowly reelected Ma Ying-jeou to a second term as president. Ma's victory is being seen as a show of popular support for closer economic ties between Taiwan and China. Marketplace's China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz has more.
President Ma held a press conference after his victory. He summed up the priorities of Taiwanese voters nervous about the local impact of a global economic downturn. Economy first, politics later, Ma said. In the past 4 years, Ma Ying-jeou has helped Taiwan strengthen economic and political ties with China. Chung Pin Lin, professor of international affairs at Taiwan's Tom Kong University, says the Taiwanese voted for the man who could sustain that relationship.
Economic stability this time is real and is a widely shared concern in the election.
It's a shared concern with the U.S. and Europe, too.
High-level people in Washington and in Canberra and in Tokyo and in the European capitals want to have some peace and stability in the world.
Monash University professor Bruce Jacobs is an expert on Taiwan politics.
Anything which keeps the Chinese happy, I think, is keeping some of the policymakers happy as well.
That's because China is one of the few remaining countries with rapid economic growth. It owns more than $1 trillion of U.S. debt, and U.S. companies are making more and more money there. Upsetting China could upset the bottom line. Jacob says Ma's win may please Beijing, but it also serves as a reminder to an authoritarian state that democracy is alive and well in Taiwan. There was 74% voter turnout on Saturday, and nearly 200,000 overseas Taiwanese who live in China went home just to vote.
When you actually have a democracy that's functioning, such as in Taiwan, and there's only 4 consolidated democracies in all of Asia, this is something valuable. It's something that should be encouraged.
It certainly wasn't encouraged by Beijing. China's government reportedly ordered mainland tour groups visiting Taiwan to stay inside their hotels on the day of election. That meant they didn't get any ideas from watching democracy in action. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Wall Street is closed for the holiday today, but overseas markets are open, and it's a mixed picture. Asian markets close lower, about 1% down in Hong Kong. Across Europe right now, stocks are higher. London up about 0.2%, and more than 1% higher right now in Frankfurt. Also up, Hulu's investment in original programming. The online video site, which is partly owned by Disney and News Corporation, says it'll roll out 2 new shows by summer. Wall Street, Friday, the Dow dropped 48 points to close at 12,422.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, combining email marketing and social media for more customers and more time back on the clock. Learn more at ConstantContact.com. And by Progressive Insurance, with Snapshot, which monitors mileage and safe driving habits to determine a personalized rate. Learn more at Progressive.com.
Rescue operations continue this morning on the sunken cruise ship just off the Italian coast. The cruise ship hit a reef on Friday night. There was a frantic evacuation of about 4,200 people. At least 6 people have died. 16 remain unaccounted for, including 2 Americans. For some context, we turn to cruise ship industry analyst Julian Bray, who is with us now from Cambridge, England. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, how are people like you who watch the cruise ship industry making sense of this disaster? What went wrong here?
Everything. This is a disaster on so many different levels. You have a 21st century cruise ship, state of the art, is built by one of the leading shipbuilders in Italy. It has state of the art navigation systems. It is quite inconceivable that this could happen. And everything seems to have gone wrong here.
How thorough are the policies about safety when it comes to cruise ships compared to, say, the airline industry?
I would have said until all this happened that they were even better than the airline industries. American companies normally require that a muster drill is carried out within hours. In fact, the industry standard is within 24 hours. But as soon as you go into your stateroom, you will see a video which is repeated on all channels, so you can't click it off, which gives you the basic information. You have a huge chart on the back of your door, which actually plots your route to the nearest exit. And when you open your wardrobe, you will find two life vests in there. So naturally, you have to move those before you can get your clothes in. So already you are handling safety equipment. And then very, very quickly, they will call you for a muster and everybody has to attend. It's quite compulsory.
Julian, what kind of repercussions is this going to have on the industry as you see it at this point?
This is going to be quite a blow because now is the season for actually thinking about your next holiday. Season cruisers, if you like to call them that, will probably not have too much of a problem with it. But the essential new cruise market, those who are new to cruising, will certainly think twice about it. Because if they're going to take your family on what should be a complete floating city, it's supposed to be safe so you can take your children on there, they will look at this and think. However, I would say to everybody, please remember that as a result of this disaster, and we must acknowledge that 6 people have died here and 16 are unaccounted for, that lessons will be learned and hopefully some good will come out of this very black moment for the industry.
Julian Bray is a cruise ship industry analyst. Thank you so much, Julian.
Thank you, sir.
And finally to Chicago, which has been auctioning off unneeded city property to make ends meet, everything from cars to Xerox copier toners. According to the Chicago Sun-Times, the city raked in $3.6 million from the auctions last year, twice what it made in 2010. That's thanks in part to a sale of standalone fax machines to an unnamed South American government, which apparently still communicates by fax. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Somali refugees have been flooding south into Kenya, but the Kenyans have their own worries.
I met with the women's group, women who lost 7 of their 8 children. I listened. They said that they wanted help. There are too many women dying. We want it to stop.
I'm Kai Rizdal, the State of Aid in East Africa. That's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.